This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now let's dig into more of your questions as we try to break through from what has been an ugly, freaking horrible news cycle, has it not? Dear average, very average pipe hitter, my state, the free state of Florida, just overturned a law that bans open carry. For those who don't know, remember, open carry is when you carry a weapon right out in the open. You don't have to have it covered. It's just sitting there on your belt. I mean, shoot, you can carry a rifle on your back. You're just allowed to have it. Naturally, this has me very excited. I'm already looking for a good level 2 or level 3 holster for my everyday carry, but my wife is on the other side of the fence. She prefers to conceal carry. She thinks that open carry gives up the element of surprise. What say you? What do you do in my situation? Would you prefer everyone open carry or everyone concealed carry? There's a lot to say for both. Look, ideally, we don't ever want to have to draw our weapon and use it, right? Ideally, I would really prefer to live the rest of my days without killing anybody. I would really, really prefer that. I don't know that I'm going to have that option, but that's what I would prefer. Every day, or having it out in the open, is the ultimate deterrent. Remember, evil, we make so many excuses for these people who commit these terrible acts. Evil, crazy, we use these terms, and oftentimes these terms are accurate, but we have to keep in mind they're not that crazy. Remember all those people that get assaulted in the New York subway? Notice how it's never a 25-year-old dude, 200 pounds. It's always some little old lady. They find some 60-year-old Asian woman. That animal who killed that woman on the train in Charlotte. There were other people on that train already. What did he wait for? He waited for the girl that weighed about 100 pounds soaking wet, and then he savaged her. So a weapon is a huge disincentive. We now know, having read the memoirs, I guess if we're going to call them, having read the thoughts, the journals of mass shooters, because we have plenty of them in this country, we read their journals afterwards, and we find out all the time that they had other targets in mind, but then skipped it because of armed security. They have arms there. So there's a lot to be said for open carry. The only reason I don't open carry, I conceal carry, the only reason I don't is this. I worry about not paying attention and someone getting a hold of it. Meaning a bad guy yanks it out of my holster before I know what's happening. And I feel like having my shirt over it, my coat over it, gives me, it takes away that option for them. It's not as easy. What, Chris? What? Yeah, look, Chris said, isn't that the whole point of a level 3 holster? Yes. No, I know there are holsters designed to avoid that, and I get all that, but that's just my reasoning why I prefer concealed. I don't think one is right or wrong. I know I was supposed to take a solid stance on this and help you with an argument with your wife, but I don't think one is right or wrong. I think you're good to go. Look, for women, maybe open carry is a better way to go so they don't ever get assaulted. You know what I mean? A big dog and a gun will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Jesse, I live in rural northern Minnesota. I've noticed a trend in the last few years where drivers go 61 in a 60 zone until they reach a section of the road with a passing lane, and then they speed up to 70 for a mile only to slow down to 61 again after the passing lane ends. Can we somehow impose the death penalty on these drivers? Well, first off, I've told you before about a superpower I've dreamt of. I had daydreams about this. I still have daydreams about this all the time. Here's the power I want. Because no, I don't want people who do that stuff to die. I don't want the death penalty. But here's what I would desire. I want the power to do this. You do something like that, I can essentially shut off your engine and move your car, just with my mind, move your car safely. I don't want you hurt. Move your car safely over to the side of the road, at which time I will decide how long it is before your engine can function again. Maybe it's a 15-minute penalty. Maybe it's a half hour. And get this, I can tell you, you can tell I've put a lot of thought into this. I want to be able to come over your car radio and explain why. It's not just that I want you punished. I want you to learn from your behavior. This is because you were going slow in the fast lane. There were five cars piled up behind you. You were never considerate enough to get over. So now I want you to sit on the side of the road for 30 minutes and consider what you did. Consider that next time. Look in your mirrors. Thank you. Please lock your doors. It is a power I've wanted so, so badly for so long. But we know what the deal is, and we know why this is. We talked about this. It's the bottom 10%, 5% of society that screw up everything. They are responsible for all the problems. It's not just the crime. All the problems. It's the bottom 5, 10% of society. When traffic is bad, it's not because everyone on the road sucks. It's one guy. It's two women. It's just a small percentage that managed to screw it up for everybody. Selfish people who think the world revolves around them. Oftentimes, stupid people, the dumb people hold us all back. Let's be honest. Look at me with Chris. Hey, Jesse, the business and real estate community of New York claim they and others will leave if Mamdani becomes mayor. I listened to Wednesday's show and thought maybe that's exactly what the communists want. Regular citizens to leave New York so they can fill the city with their own communists. Shouldn't the good people be staying instead of letting Mamdani know they're not going anywhere and will not stop the fight? Her name is Diane. You know, I've had this argument with people before, or people I should say have had this argument with me when I talk about moving out of your blue area if you can, because I believe in that strongly. Move to a place that shares your values. You'll have a better life. You'll be happier. Every day your interactions will be more pleasant. And you have some layer of government protection. If you're in a purely blue area, man, these people are getting more and more evil. They're dying for a reason to throw you in prison, right? And when I say that, I will get pushback from people. It's an understandable position. People who say, no, we have to stay and fight. No, you should be telling people to move to LA. No, we should be. Here's why that doesn't work. Here's why that argument is completely ridiculous and doesn't work. You can't demand other people do something that's terrible for them personally just on behalf of the country, on behalf of your cause. Meaning, if you were in New York City right now and you say, if this communist gets elected, I'm moving out, I'm moving to Long Island, I'm moving somewhere, I'm moving out. And I were to say to you, no, you need to stay there and fight. Well, I'm not there. I get to tell you that you have to suffer for the cause. I can't tell you that. One of the great things about telling people to move to a red area is, when they do it, everyone loves it. Everyone emails in the show. I run into you in public, and you tell me, Jesse, we moved to Tennessee. Best advice ever. Jesse, we finally did it. I love it. I'm trying to make your life better, happier. You can't demand people stay in a terrible political situation for the cause. It does not work. It doesn't work. You are never able. Remember this in politics. And Democrats really struggle with this because they're trying to destroy everything. In politics, it's a very tough sell to tell people, I'm going to make your life worse. I'm going to wreck something you love. It's part of what made Jimmy Carter so unpopular when Jimmy Carter, the president, told everyone to put on a sweater. With all this, well, if you're cold, just put on a sweater. That doesn't work. It doesn't work with people. And Democrats struggle with it mightily. That's why you hear them oftentimes yelling at the media for not lying hard enough. Joe Biden did this all the time. Well, maybe if you people wouldn't even be mad about the economy if you guys would just would tell the truth about how great it is. Why aren't you telling the truth? It's hard to sell people on having a crappier life. That's why. If you look, I have a great deal of fear that this guy is going to get elected in New York City because New York City is already on the downward swing. It has been since Bloomberg left. Everyone knows it. It's been on a downward swing. Every time I visit, it's dirtier and smellier, dirtier and smellier, dirtier and smellier. Feels more dangerous, more mental illness, violent people walking around out in the open every time I go. It's going down and down and down, and I hate that because I adore that place. I adore Fred, too. Big, fluffy idiot. I am so embarrassed by the person Fred turns me into. I get caught by Aub and the kids all the time. Because he comes up, there's nothing you can do. He comes up with that big, stupid, fluffy face of his and stuffs it in you. You have no choice but to give him some snuggles. And that's why we sprinkle rough greens on his food. Because we want Fred to live for a very, very long time. Your dog is special to you. It's part of your family. Sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food so you can have him longer and healthier while you have him. Remember, when you start giving your dog America's number one dog supplement, you will see physical differences that let you know, oh, wow, nutrition, that turns out to be a good idea. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call 214-ROUGH-DOG, promo code Jesse. Get you a free jumpstart trial bag. All right. Someone's not thrilled with their pastor in the wake of the assassination. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss a single second, you'll die. So you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, Monday, the Tournament of Tournaments continues. Crappiest country in the world, Haiti versus France. And you can vote on it on the show's Twitter page. Bronco the Vest. The subject on this one is my pastor a low-T weenie? Yesterday, my pastor did allude to the Charlie Kirk assassination, but not by name, and kept a tone of, we need Jesus now more than ever. He was careful to say we're in a divided world and had a diverse flock, and we all just need to turn to the Lord. It's better than a cheek-turning message, but I found myself craving some righteous anger. I feel like we need anger right now to embolden us against the evil we're up against. Am I off base? He says, please stay safe. No, you're not off base. And there is an epidemic of these kinds of pastors all across the United States of America. I saw one at the church I used to go to said, he of course wanted to pay respects, but he said, had to start out with, I didn't agree with everything he said, but you weenie, speak clearly, directly. You don't need qualifiers. You don't need to mealy-mouth your way through things. Now is the time, more than ever, we need pastors to be bold. Pastors to be bold. There should be pastors up there speaking like this.
There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree.
There are a lot of low-T pastors in this country, a lot of them. And they're breeding more feminized Christians, and it's pathetic. You know, we always talk about becoming an activist and getting involved somehow, some way, school board and whatnot. Have we ever had the discussion about men, strong men, getting involved in being pastors? You know, this is the moment everyone looks down and thinks, I'm not qualified, I can't do it, I cuss too much, I have too much beer, whatever it is, but part of the problem is effeminate men go into this field, and therefore you get effeminate pastors. Too afraid of offending anybody. If you're not offending anybody from the pulpit, you suck. Jesse, the destructive beaver slayer, he says, you said on Wednesday's show a prediction that the Democrat Party will be almost extinct in 10 to 20 years. Did the Charlie Kirk assassination response over the past week lead you to this conclusion? And assuming so, what are your thoughts? All right, so let me explain. I don't know that I'm necessarily predicting it, but I could see it. And here is why. This is something that has happened to communists many, many times before, which we explained yesterday. They take power and they immediately start doing the most horrible stuff as fast as they possibly can, and then they get run out of that society. They did it in Spain when they stole an election and immediately just started behaving like animals. And Franco wasn't there right away when they stole the election. He looked at what they were doing and said, all right, get the army. We're not going to stand for this. If the communists had just controlled their demonic impulses, then they probably would have lasted a lot longer. So as the communists, as the Democrat Party has turned full-blown communist in the last 15 years or so, probably 15, 20 years, it has had the effect of purging any voice that could have kept them in check. Purging any normal voice, because normal voices are immediately struggle sessioned and run out. You're not allowed. Now, it's always a competition between who can be the most radical. There is no limiting. People like to say there's no limiting principle. I'll explain it like this. If I catch my son staying up after I told him to go to bed, I said go to bed at 9:30. I go in there at 10 o'clock and he's on his phone. Should I kill him? Obviously not. That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? Kill him. Maybe ground him for a day, take his phone away. But without a limiting principle, I can do whatever I want, you see. There's nothing holding me back if I don't have anything moral against beating him, hurting him, killing him. There's nothing holding me back from it. That's what the Democrat Party is going through right now in the United States of America. No matter what insane, demonic, radical, unpopular position they take, there's nobody left to say, maybe not. I've told you this before many times, and I believe it. I think Nancy Pelosi getting too old and essentially hanging up her dentures and walking away from it, I think that's been devastating for the Democrat Party, because I think she was one of the last ones who kept them in check. No, we're not doing that. Calm down. That's too far. And they can't control themselves now. And so they keep getting less popular and less popular and less popular and less popular. Gold's very popular, though. Very, very, very popular. Remember what Carol Roth told us last night? What all the sharp investors are doing? What all the nations are doing? They're buying gold as fast as they can get their hands on it. It has always been the most reliable place to keep your wealth. Now, what's that mean for you? All it means is you need to get a hold of Gold Co. and let them make it a part of your retirement. It won't be all of it. I'm not saying that. That's crazy. But it guarantees, it protects you from getting completely wiped out when you invest in things that you can touch and feel. Hard assets. call Gold Co. A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. They'll even give you a free copy of their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit. You might qualify for thousands of dollars in bonus silver, too. 855-817-GOLD or visit jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Before we get back to the questions, I think we should check in on the results of mass immigration into the United States of America.
I rise to pay my respects to the celebrated heroes of the Somali Youth League. On May 15th, 1943, 13 young, brave, and brightful men founded SYL to liberate Somalia from colonial control. Their mission was to see a free and united Somalia and prosperity for its...
That took place on the House floor of the United States House of Representatives, honoring Somali heroes. Yeah, it's going well for us. By the way, good thing Somalia got rid of that colonial control. Things have really been on the up and up ever since. Dear Bronco, I keep hearing teachers are one of the main groups celebrating Charlie's assassination, and even one who forced her students to watch the video of the assassination over and over again. I'm sure you've talked about it before, but what do we do? The education system is completely taken over by communists, but many parents don't have any other options besides the public education system. People just can't afford private schools or homeschooling. So what options do parents have? She asked that I not use her name, and I won't. But first, I hate to continue to repeat this, but you need to take back the school system in your area. Take back your school board. That's one. Your school board. Go look at the vote totals for school board. You can win these elections. If we conquered all the school boards in this country, we would completely reverse. Every decline in this country would be reversed if we could take back the school boards. Take back your school board. That's one. Two, if there are evil communists in your school, get them fired. Get with your friends. Start being an activist. Get in the principal's face. Get a meeting. No, you don't have to do anything ridiculous or illegal. And get that teacher fired. Get communists fired. Get comfortable getting communists run out of polite society, because they should be out of polite society. Wherever they go, they poison it and destroy it. So you have to get them out. Get them fired. And this is something everyone can do. You have to be focused with your children when it comes to politics. Purposeful, I guess I should say, not focused. That's the word I'm looking for. You can't keep politics away from them. You know, well, I don't want to bias them. Communists are going to bias them. You better prepare your children to sit in a classroom that has a gay flag in it. prepare your children to sit in a classroom where the teacher is a disgusting communist who celebrated Charlie Kirk's death. Is your child equipped for that? Does your child know right from wrong, good and evil? Do they know why it is terrible to be a communist? If they don't, prepare them. Start tonight. Get them ready. You have to get them ready. Prepare them because communists want them so badly. That's what they really want, is your children. They are after your children. As we've discussed 1,000 times, why do you think they took Disney? Why Disney? So many large corporations. Why did they take it and girl boss it and gade the whole thing up and tranny it? Why Disney? Because Disney was for kids. That's where you get the kids. They didn't stumble into it. Oh, whoops, did we take Disney? They were very, very focused on it. Good afternoon, old giant-handed one. My old boss was a real... Lady, I can't say that word. Until she got demoted. Starts with a C, by the way. Now that she's not my boss anymore and wants to be friends, I don't forgive her or like her or want anything to do with her or her stupid personal stories. How do I tell her to leave me alone in a professional way? Says, please don't read my name. Thanks for all you do. Love the show. Keep up the great work. My dad had a real specialty at this, but I don't know that you are going to be able to do it. I do it, and Ob gets mortified. My dad will just walk away if he doesn't like you, or if the conversation is going on too long. And I don't mean like try to politely pat you on the arm or something like that. He'll just turn and walk away and go back to doing whatever he was doing. And if you said something to him, like, Dad, you can't just walk away. He would look at you like you were crazy. Why can't? Yes, I can. I just did it. Of course, I can just walk away. All you have to do is be rude one or two times, and then they'll all get the message. It's extremely effective. I've mastered this. I've really mad. What, Chris? I'm really good at it. It's one of my specialties. Jesse, why do people hate guys like Charlie? I've watched him for years since he was a dorky kid with a bad haircut appearing on Tucker and other shows. I knew he spoke to young people and tried to preach conservatism to college kids, but I didn't know much else about him. I thought what he said was pretty harmless and mostly just common sense. What did he do or say that made the left hate him so much? All the hateful statements since his murder are puzzling me. Did Charlie ever do or say anything that would cause someone to think he's a Nazi? So first, one of the main reasons they hated Charlie Kirk was he was effective. You know how we just talked about they're after your kids, they're after your kids, they're after your kids? The real communist training camps in the United States of America are universities. That is where your mind is still developing. Your value system is still developing. It's not fully developed at 18. And they get you onto these college campuses and your fellow students and, yes, the professors twist your mind up and turn you into a hateful, demonic monster. It's been happening forever in this country. Charlie Kirk in Turning Point USA, they knew that they could go into the belly of the beast and change people. Changed particularly young people. I had dinner with someone last night. Ob and I had to go have a meeting with this guy. I won't go into the details of it, but he told me he was in the gym that day. He works out, I think it was a Gold's Gym, but he was working out in the gym, and there were two young men. He said they were teenagers, I think. He thought they were teenagers, bench pressing next to him. And you know what one was telling the other? Do one more for Charlie. Do one more for Charlie. Charlie went after the young people. They want your kids. They are after your kids, the communists are. They are purposeful with your kids to go set up shop in the middle of college campuses and win those kids back, pull kids back from the brink to change the minds of young people in this country back into what's right from what is bad. That is what made him the true enemy. It had nothing to do with it. I mean, it's so confusing for normal people because he's so nice. He's not like me. He was so nice. He was just so kind to everybody. So why would you hate him when he's one of the nice ones? He was effective at getting what the communists want the most, your children. That's why they hate him. As far as the Nazi thing goes, well, communists have used this tactic since the 50s, honestly. This is a very old tactic. Anybody who disagrees with them is a Nazi. And they do that to put you on the defensive. I'm not a Nazi. You know, the second you start defending yourself, you're losing. To put you on the defensive. And they do that because then it grants permission to their street animals to hurt you. Because what can't you do to a Nazi? Anything's acceptable if someone's a Nazi. Don't you think it's odd that they all seem to use that rhetoric? Nazi white supremacist, Nazi white supremacist, Nazi white supremacist. How can that be accurate? Accuracy has nothing to do with it at all. It's not supposed to be accurate. It's supposed to form in the minds of the demonic animals that make up the Democrat base a permission to do whatever they want to you. Because you can hurt a Nazi, can't you? All right, we got a lot more. But let's talk for a minute about Pure Talk, about putting our money where our morals are. AT&T and T-Mobile and Verizon, if you have one of those companies, I don't even want you to take my word for it. I want you to go look up that company and the words George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, something like that. These companies have been doing communist activism with our money forever. ESG, DEI, go look it up. Then switch to Pure Talk. Maybe you haven't because you think it's a pain. It's 10 minutes on the phone. And they hire Americans. You get to talk to someone who speaks English. 10 minutes on the phone. You keep your phone or get a brand new one. And you save a fortune. Average family saves over $1,000, about $1,000 in your pocket. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I remain concerned about the middle class in this country. I talked to Carol Roth a bit about it yesterday. You can listen to that on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You go download the podcast. But I continue to talk to people in various industries that lead me to believe the middle class is being pushed down, not lifted up, pushed down into poverty and not having any disposable income. I came across this little chart last night confirming it. High-income Americans are behind roughly half of all U.S. consumer spending. What do they normally have? In the 90s, they made up about a third of it. Now, they make up half the consumer spending. So the retail numbers don't look bad. The spending numbers look okay, but it's rich people who are doing half of it. That tells me that people who aren't rich don't have disposable income. Inflation is still crushing people, and it's a huge, huge problem. And it's a problem Donald Trump and the administration have got to work on, period. And Congress has to work on. And you've got to stop spending so much money. I know everyone has all the little projects they want to do and no cuts here and no cuts there, and we'll give them this, we'll give them that. Washington spending is creating this inflationary disaster, and it's crushing people. Jesse, I'm trying to think of a funny way to start out this email, but I have a serious question. How does a common person prepare for a civil war? I don't want to fight one, as I got a kid in college and animals that I take care of and elderly people too. But I see it as inevitable. Do we stockpile food and ammo and dig in and fortify? Okay, so one, yes, meaning stockpile food, medical supplies. Everybody forgets about medical supplies. Those are as important as the gun and the bullets. Get your ammo, get your food, get your medical supplies. All that stuff is fine. Those are basic preparations. But what you really need to be doing is the thing you're not going to want to do. Me too. Look, I've done this, but you need to get to know a group of people. You need a group of people. A group of people who will contribute, forget civil war. I mean, you can make it about civil war, but who will contribute and can lean on each other in terrible times. And maybe that is a civil war one day. I hope that never comes, but maybe it's yeah, good point, Chris. Maybe it's a natural disaster. Maybe it's maybe China cooks off an EMP over your area, and there's now no electronics, and there's anarchy in the streets, and there's the most important thing is to develop a network of people. And if you need extra motivation to do that, you should know that the communists are. They have networks. They start networks. They start groups. They know who's part of their group. You need a group. You cannot individual your way out of everything. Nobody can. I don't care if you're the baddest dude on the planet. Remember Clay Martin's given us that great advice too. And Clay Martin is a bad dude, really bad. And he's the first thing he said, who's your group? If a disaster strikes tomorrow, whose house are you going to? Where are we meeting up? Who has this? Someone has that. You can even divide up the duties. Hey, you, medical supplies. You have this. You, where are you going? What is the plan? And I am not, maybe you're thinking, well, great, now I have to be the weird neighborhood prepper guy. No. Get with the guys or the ladies and say, hey, what if something terrible happens? I think we should have a plan. Let's at least meet at Tina's house. Okay. And then you can take it from there. Okay, well, I have this I'll be able to bring, or I have that. But if something happens, whose house are you meeting at? Where are you going? What is the plan? You need a network. Even if it's four guys, five guys, as an individual, you are going to get chewed up and spit out because someone else is going to have a group. You see, even if you have a weapon and you're really good with it, and ammo, well, if they show up with 10 guys and they all have weapons, you're going to die. And then all your food's their food. What is your group? Got to group up. Jesse, those text messages from the shooter seem like they were meant to be seen. I specifically noticed the part where the roommate had no knowledge of anything going on, but also witnessed the shooter engraving phrases in the bullets. Something isn't adding up, says I can say his name. His name's Ira. Look, I've seen a lot of theories on that the text messages that they released publicly between that dirtball assassin and his gay roommate or tranny roommate. I can't keep track anymore, whatever. Somewhere on the rainbow spectrum. I mean, my goodness.
Why are you gay?
I've seen those public text messages, and I have seen the skepticism a lot of people have poured on them that it doesn't, hey, that's not how people text, that doesn't seem real, and all that stuff. And as per usual, I'm not going to call you crazy, because I can't call you crazy. Because we can't trust our institutions anymore. Our institutions violated our trust. And our law enforcement, FBI meaning, our FBI very much violated that trust. When they turned against us and they went after us for being Republicans, that violated our trust to such a degree that now we don't believe anything they say. And so I don't know what's real. And in situations like this, I try to just wait. I wait as long as I can, and I watch, and I gather information. Doesn't mean they're fake. Doesn't mean they're real. What it does mean is just be watchful. And you need to do this. You need to make sure you are pruning out people you listen to or watch if they are constantly selling you on something that doesn't turn out to be true. And I caution you for this reason. Everyone's chasing your eyes and ears, right? Everyone wants you. You're the audience. Everyone wants you. They want you there. And look, it's not like I'm not different. I want you here too. But there are people who don't possess any talent for this sort of thing. And so they try to go to extraordinary means to try to keep your eyes and ears. Meaning they can't keep your interest talking about, you know, food or history or something like that, or the Constitution, whatever. So what do? They sell you on a new grand conspiracy all the time. If they're always selling that, pay attention to the ones that actually come to fruition. If you figure out that you're listening or watching one of those guys, prune that out of your life. That, all it does is hold you back. All it does is hurt your life and melt your brain, all right? And then I don't even think Relief Factor can help. What, Chris? I don't know if they can help. Can you look that up? Does it help with a melted brain? I don't think so. Look, it can help with pain, though. No brain, but pain. Chris, I came... What? I just came up with that. Why are you being like this? Anyway, Relief Factor does. It'll take the pain out of your life. I can tell you from personal experience, that physical pain that ruins your day, ruins your work day, ruins your leisure time, the reason you don't get to go on a walk anymore, Relief Factor can get it out of your life. They sell 3 weeks of it. You know that almost 70% of the people who order some order more? That should tell you about everything you need to know right there. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Relieffactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF. All right. That woman who got murdered on that train, did they not help her because of the color of her skin, someone wants to know? Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.